The Birthday Present, written by Barbara Vine and read by Ruth Sillars and Paul Blake.
Chapter 1. 33 is the age we shall all be when we meet in heaven, because Christ was 33 when he died. It's an interesting idea. One can't help thinking that the people who invent these things chose it because it's an ideal age. No longer one's first youth, but not aging either. It was Sandy Caxton who told me this when I sat next to him at Ivor's birthday dinner. His 33rd, of course. And Ivor said afterwards that he had a store of that sort of wisdom. My own opinion is that Sandy was just changing the subject because I'd asked him if he lived in London. "I'm awfully sorry," he said, "but I can't tell you that." And noticing my mystified look, "I used to be the Northern Ireland secretary, you see, and we're not supposed to tell anyone where we live." I did see. I should have known. Ivor told me there was even a bodyguard somewhere at the party, and wherever it was that Sandy lived, the police with sniffer dogs searched the local church before he went to matins. Not that it did him any good in the end. They still got him at the time they chose. But more of that later. Iris had been sitting next to Ivor's friend, Jack Munro, a favourite of hers, and it was rather reluctantly that she said goodbye to him as we had to leave before the others. We had a trustworthy babysitter, but we wanted to get back to Nadine. She was our first child, the first of four, and we were both so besotted that we fretted if we were away from her for long. Even to celebrate her uncle's heavenly birthday. Even when she was in the care of one of her grandmothers. There was one person close to Ivor, in a manner of speaking, absent from the party. "Ivor's girlfriend wasn't there," I said, as we were going up Fitzjohn's Avenue. "She wouldn't have been asked. You know Ivor. In some ways he's living in the distant past. One doesn't invite the mistress to meet one's friends." Iris made the face she always used to make when her brother's peculiarities came up, her smile a little rueful. Besides, having to spend an evening out with her instead of in with her, he'd think a waste of time. "It's like that, is it?" "It's probably only like that," she said. Mention his name and most people will say, "Who?" While the rest think for a bit and ask if he wasn't the one who got involved in all that sleaze back in whenever it was. Necessarily because my brother-in-law was a politician through and through. I'll have to talk about politics. But increasingly I find how ignorant I am and how much the minutiae of politics bore me. I shall gloss over a great deal of this aspect of Ivor's life, only touching on what I hope are the interesting bits, and, of course, because no one could speak of this period and leave them out, the departure of Margaret Thatcher, the coming of John Major, and the general elections of 1992 and 97. I'm putting in Jane Atherton's diary. Not just some of it, but the whole thing as it was sent to Juliet. Ivor's history, and, come to that, Hebe Fernall's wouldn't be complete without it. The package arrived, and then a letter under separate cover, as they say. Ivor never saw either. I don't suppose he even knew of the existence of the diary. Too much had happened to him for any more risk-taking, and he was keeping his head buried in the sand. Jane was a friend of Hebe's, and about as unlike her, it seems, as two female creatures belonging to the same species and living in the same time can be unlike each other. I suppose she was of use to Hebe. Whatever else she may have done for her, apart from filling a role as foil to her particular charms, she provided her with alibis. The chances are that if she hadn't agreed to provide a certain alibi, none of this would have happened. I never met Hebe. I never even saw her. Like the rest of the world, I saw her picture in the papers after the accident. A pretty blonde, almost beautiful, with the looks of a model. And also, like the rest of the world, I confuse her with the other pretty blonde, the one the men thought they were taking when they took her, or the police or the press thought they were taking when they took her.